Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye, live with The Fedge. Did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware.
All right, from Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is The Fetch, and you are live Inside the Eye. Today's date is Saturday, November the 2nd, 2019, and a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late afternoon, early evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. Quite a nice day. Mid-autumn day, we should say, here in Riyadh, as highs hit only 88 degrees. We have backed off that a bit as we are currently sitting at 85 degrees at just after 5 o'clock in the afternoon. As you can imagine, we are going to have an absolutely fantastic evening, as by 9 p.m. the temperature should be around 79 degrees, then 75 by midnight, and then an overnight low of a quite comfortable 69 degrees. And winds have been relatively calm all day, coming in right now about 7 miles per hour out of the south-southeast. I guess you could say we are on the backstretch to the end of 2019, and quite a lot is happening out there in the world. Social unrest is spreading. Democrats in the United States are seeking to use impeachment to overturn the election of Donald Trump in 2016. And good old Brexit continues to muddle along with precise, or should we say precision, I think it's precise, precisely planned ineptitude. That's what it really looks like. And of course, we have the nationalist movements continuing to gain strength across Europe. Meanwhile, the Jewish war against Western civilization, from the core of Europe to the vast European diaspora, which would include the Commonwealth and the United States, continues to go on unabated and with ever-rising vitriol and totalitarianism. It's gotten to the point now that traditional free speech havens, as say the United Kingdom, is now watching really a dangerous erosion of the people's right to speak there. And that's going to be whether it's from fear of retribution at the hands of Jews and their Czech police forces, or from actual arrests that send a message that Jewish power in the UK is real, and that Jews will not tolerate any opposition to their self-stated desire to rule not just any particular country, but the entirety of planet Earth. Meanwhile, Jewish depravity is rampant and now in full view as the global homo agenda continues to bore down into our once largely traditional family-friendly societies to become one where sexual predators not only operate out in the open, but are being given de facto state support by way of insanely idiotic displays of debauchery in the form of pride parades and, of course, direct access to children through such things as book reading rituals that may be found on so many libraries, not just in the United States, but across now Western civilization. One should not dismiss that forms of occult ritual are not being interspersed into these library readings, for indeed, surely you should expect them to be. Meanwhile, we advanced a long ways since the 60s and early 70s, when the band The Kinks sang about a transvestite by the name of Lola. Not sure if you recall that song, but
I'm not dumb, but I can't understand why she won't like a woman, talk like a man on the
Yes, Lola, back then, you know, you could at least talk about it. But nowadays, you know, back then we had and marveled at something called Wonder Woman. Everybody sat behind the TV. Nowadays, everybody wonders, is it a woman? They really don't know, because Lola, the transvestite tranny world, has become really just par for the course, even rising to the state of first lady in the form of Michael Michelle Obama. So the cognitive dissonance is out there. You know, you can talk to a child, a kid nowadays, and, you know, they will see the fact that it might be a man, but they will just go into cognitive dissonance and just deny everything that they say. Hell, in today's world, again, even the kids are too scared now to protect the girls within their own generation. Chivalry, it seems, is dead as men compete as far women and everything from wrestling to cycling to track and field without near a whimper from the campuses from either the boys or the girls. In fact, to make a protest about such absurdities and unfairness in competitions is met with such screams of hatred, bigotry, and what is it? Transphobic? Homophobic phrases, something to that effect. Really, guys, it's become unhinged out there. And that is just part of what we're looking at as we go into the home stretch of 2019. But if you listen to Donald Trump, everything is great. Jobs are on the rise. It's never been better to be a worker in America. Well, perhaps that's true. I'm not so sure. But if that's the case, why are we constantly being met with such terms as, okay, boomer? It's like, okay, okay, get a job. Okay, boomer. So it's a mixed up world for sure. And as we really come into this backstretch into 2019, going into 2020, again, we do see some positive signs out there. And that, of course, is what this show is all about, is how to bring about some of that positive signs of change into the great world that we now live in today. All right, that is our opening there. I hope you enjoyed that a little bit. The chat room is open, and it's quiet there right now. They say that the song that was about the band's leader, I don't know about that. Boys will be boys and girls will be girls. Maybe the band's leader was a transvestite, huh? Let's see. What do we got there? It's quiet in the chat room. Telephone lines today, if you'd like to call in, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. And, you know, this is Halloween weekend. It seems to be a ritual. I think they should start making it. But the people over at 4chan, which is one of the online, we could call it a dissident site, quite frankly. I think this is a fair thing to call them. They are opposition site, dissident site. They had started a meme up 2 years ago with something very simple. It's okay to be white. And you know, on the face of it, it makes sense, right? It's okay. What's wrong with it, right? But as they predicted over at 4chan, what happened was after that meme was released, the media, which is, of course, is controlled by you-know-who with six-pointed stars and funny-looking ads, they went bonkers, and that hasn't stopped now for 2 years. They've been talking about it off and on. In fact, a resolution inside of the Australian Parliament last year, I think in September of last year, was actually defeated. They told the British people or the Australian people and really the world at large that it's not okay to be white. They actually, a woman put forward a resolution and calling on just, hey, anti-white racism, we're seeing it rampant everywhere now within all forms of our society and across Western civilization. And they quite frankly said, no, we're going to defeat that. It's not true. It's not okay to be white. And consequently, you have really a situation where racism against white people is on the rise, even in our own countries. And that's the funny thing about this is that, you know, you have theoretically, they're your countries, but when you have governments that are controlled by bankers and controlled by Jewish interests, they're not really your governments anymore. They belong to bankers and Jewish interests, and Jews have no interest in Western civilization. Jews, I don't know who quoted it, but they really did say something quite some time ago that they don't want just to rule a particular country. They want a planet of their own. That's a very sick thing. I saw something else rather interesting about Jewish people. And it was about a nurse. She said she worked in a
back in the early 1900s, and you know, there's some epidemics and people didn't live as long, and you know, the ward held 100 people, and sometimes, you know, up to 6 deaths a day. And you know, she said that, you know, as she witnessed this, she was writing in like a journal, she's saying, you know, it struck me that Christians often met death with some peace and tranquility, but Jews went into death screaming and gnawing and crying as if something was very wrong with their spirit. And, you know, somewhat that may actually very well be true. You have to wonder, because, you know, their religion teaches them to abuse and to misuse everybody here to get their way. And most of their way is really about leading what they consider a good journey here on planet Earth. And they don't care who they destroy in the process, so long as they have a good journey. And of course, that is not a spiritual thing, where most of us in the Western world, we really truly do believe in things of do as thou will, but harm none. That's an old pagan witchcraft phrase, you know, do as thou will, but harm none. But really, it just makes sense. You know, the golden rule, do as you would, you know, treat others as you would treat yourselves. I never really liked that one, because there's a lot of people that abuse themselves, and I don't want those abusive people abusing me also. So I thought, no, that golden rule doesn't work for me, guys. Sorry about that. But nonetheless, it is very, very interesting now to watch what is happening across Western civilization as we go into really the home stretch, not really the final stretch, but let's just say the back stretch to 2019. This idea of it's okay to be white, you know, what happened just yesterday, Halloween, or 2 days ago, Halloween, was the group 4chan again. They put out a ton of flyers for it's okay to be white. And it was carried, this idea was carried all over the place. The Washington Post talked about it. The, Huffington Post talked about it. Many, many, many organizations talked about it. But this article, it goes back to the initial one, which is November 2nd, 2017. I think that's when this story was written. Let me look. Nope, this is the 2017 campaign, and they're saying that posters proclaiming it's okay to be white have been appearing on college campuses and on city streets across the country this week, prompted by an anonymous chat room. Now, that's all okay, and it says here it would feed social unrest and sway white Americans to far-right ideologies. No, that's not what it was about, you Jews. And that's the thing about Jewish people that I find very loathsome and disgusting. They read into whatever it is they want just to sell their agenda. In other words, it's almost a paranoid, irrational, sadistically sick culture. Look, it is okay to be of your culture. We've never told Jews in the early days that it wasn't okay to be a Jew. Now, if somebody says out there on a, and you'll see it in many Jewish publications, like something to the fact that, hey, be proud of your Jewish heritage. It's okay to be a Jew, or whatever the case is relative to Jews. Nobody says a word in the Jewish community about this type of negative framing. But as they said here back then, this campaign, they said a series of messages said people should print signs that it's okay to be white. There's nothing wrong with that. But the episode, they say, is indicative of efforts of white nationalist groups they have made. And let me rephrase that one. The episode is indicative of the efforts white nationalist groups have made to recruit in and around the nation's college campuses and other mainstream settings with claims of growing white maltreatment. Hey, nobody said anything about growing maltreatment. It was just 3-4 words. It's okay to be white. What is that? 5 words? It's okay to be white. 5 words. That's all it is. It's 5 words. It's 5 words. It's okay to be white. Where did Jews project into that statement of a growing white maltreatment and expanding white discrimination? How did we get there? How did you Jews just, what do you guys Jews make that up? How did you ordain all of this amazing, oh, terrible things behind really a very positive phrase? It's okay to be white. What's wrong with that? I don't have to feel about my own mistreatment. It has nothing to do with that. I personally don't have it. I do know it's out there. I have experienced it in my life, quite frankly. I see it all around me. Hey, in my training culture here in Saudi Arabia, guess what? You don't hire the white guys. You hire the Somalians. You hire the African Americans. There's almost no white guys here. So I see it here in the job, right here in Saudi Arabia. It's not like I don't see it. Saudis aren't necessarily always happy with it, but they're not going to say anything. They're just not going to complain. They pay the price and they keep moving along, right? But Jews sold this, listen to this phrase. The white victim construct is one that experts say not so long ago only had traction in avowed white supremacist, segregationist, and neo-Nazi circles. Dudes, you guys ordained that from it's okay to be white? Which means that really that phrase isn't saying anything. Jews are saying that. Jews understand that this is actually the truth of what's going on. There is a system of assault by the Jewish community, quite frankly, against Western civilization, against Europeans in general. And that goes across the spectrum. I don't care if you're Russian, which they killed off 60 million. I don't care if it's America, where they're killing 40 million a year in opioids, not to mention what they're doing with the destruction of families with all of their vaccines, which they talk about nonetheless. They do talk about it in their protocols of Zion. Oh, Fetch is a conspiracy nutter. Well, no, you explained to me why I got so many people that are now autistic. And guess what? They're autistic because of vaccines. And you want to hide the facts and the truth. And you want to delete our channels and take us and deplatform us so we're not able to reach our audiences anymore. You think anybody doesn't notice what's going on, you stupid idiots in the Jewish community? Seriously. Do you really? And I'm thinking that this culture is so filled with its hubris that it's blinded to what really is happening all around them. You know, Jews talk a lot about hate, 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 hate. But how can you not hate somebody who purposely lies about you, defames you, deplatforms you, seeks to destroy your family, seeks to destroy your culture, seeks to destroy your country? How are you? Why should you not hate somebody like that? In a very cold, practical sense, they basically come into your house. They want to rearrange the furniture. They want to screw your wife, if you know, or whatever, or screw your daughters or whatever inside the house. They want to eat all your food. They want to basically repaint everything. They want to mess up your entire house. And then they say, hey, what's the problem? What you hate? What you a hater or something? But they're inside your house. And Jews don't get that. They don't see this house as our house. They see it as only a Jew house, but they've come into our house. By their own historical admonitions, their own historical, not admonitions, their own historical admissions, not admonitions, admissions. They're imposters here. They're wandering who's. They're waiting to be called back to their homeland. This isn't their land. Their land is the homeland, which is Israel, not America, not Britain, not France. They're just here to maintain their stranglehold to keep their country alive till GD calls them all back in their great Messiah movement. But see, they wonder why they become so loathed. Can you imagine going into somebody's home, rearranging the furniture, repainting the walls, leaving trashes and messes everywhere, messing around with all the family members sexually? It doesn't matter if it's male or female, because half of the Jews are homosexual anyways. And then they want to say, oh, gee, why do you hate me, man? Well, why are you such a hater, man? And you just want to just take your fist and an iron bar and just smash it upside their face and kick them out of your house. Because in a real world, if someone came into your house and did that, you would fully be in your right to do so. But so many of our people nowadays say, oh, refugees, welcome, which is just what? A militant wing of this Jewish effort to destroy our countries. And so many fools will allow these people, meaning the migrants, into their homes And next thing you know, they have a dead family member. Yeah. Refugees welcome, right, dude? And then think of all the pictures we have now coming out when you really look at the statistics of how many European white girls who have found themselves dead 6 feet under because they took in an African-American boyfriend, if you want to call it that, but really entered into the thug culture without perhaps a real grasp of the comprehension just because thug culture was glorified inside of the media. And then they wind up dead, maimed for life, etc. See, there's lots of issues that the West has with Jewish society. And it's not just their anti-white attitudes anymore, although that's the core of it at the end of the day. But it has to deal again with this spiritual battle going on between what really is a good and a great evil that hides behind and is embraced by so many within the Jewish community. Very few Jewish people ever escape from this great evil. Very few. You can almost count them on your hands, but they do come to you from time to time. They say, you know, I thought you were a raving racist, bigot, etc., hater. But, you know, I really did take heart to what you were saying and did some research. I no longer identify as being a Jew. And that's a very powerful statement, because those who no longer see themselves as Jews have broken free from what is a great evil. And that's what people have a hard time addressing on this planet. They just can't grasp this idea that which sells itself as your savior is really the greatest evil of all that is here engineering your own demise. Evil is as clever can be, as they might say. And that evil will always manifest itself as something beneficial to you, since you will latch onto it and hence become easier prey. Now imagine what's going on within your systems of social constructions here in the West, from education to science to medical. Everywhere, media to include, cultural, everywhere, you cannot find a lack of Jewish influence. Now, if it was to benefit our race, our culture, our nations, surely there would be no qualms about that. Why should we? We in the West have always embraced the idea of allowing the best of the best to come, because we want to equally learn from the best. We did not become one of the superior cultures of earth simply by being stupid and pretending that you can't learn from everybody else. See, there's a value or an ideal out there that we in the West called Hermeticism. And Hermeticism understood a very core, simple fact. Everybody out there in some form or fashion is your superior. And consequently, the wise man takes time to learn what it is they can learn from that other person, that other culture, that other race. That's what we do best. Hence, we always have tried to surround ourselves with the best. We have always intermingled across this great planet of ours with all the civilizations. And from these civilizations, we have taken really what is the best of these civilizations and integrated them into our own. We are already a melting pot by doing so. We have created an advanced world, or it had created this great advanced world that really the entire world looked up to in more ways than one. You don't have skyscrapers in planet Earth the way we do if what Americans had not first invented it. Not Jews, Americans. You don't have these great skyscrapers in New York without all these Irish people literally walking the planks up there with no protection, building these great buildings of steel and cement, and they didn't have any safety nets below them. The accomplishments are, quite frankly, amazing that has happened here in the West. And the war against it is done
for the sole purpose to bring humanity back down to the level of what some would call Jewish mongrelism. No advancement, a bunch of people wandering the desert like a bunch of beggars, praying up to their sky god, hoping that one day they're going to be saved and GD is going to come back. It's idiotic. Every civilized culture out there has forsaken Jewish moral values. Think about it. Every single one. Because if they hadn't, we would still be stoning people to death today. Which lets you know who was behind the ISIS phenomenon. Jews. It's The Fetch Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware, November 2nd, 2019. Back with more right after this. Okay, everybody, welcome back. No technical issues there, but we solved it quick enough. Thank you very much for that, everybody. Welcome. First of all, Saturday, thank you, Han, in the chat room. Always appreciate your compliments out there. Chat room is starting to pick up. It's almost humming now. Again, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on that live chat button. And yeah, that was glad you liked the start of the show, everybody. It is listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. And, of course, without your donations, hey, we don't have a platform. And nowadays, platforms are good. So do what you can. Make your way over to revolution.radio. Revolution.radio. Contribute on behalf of this show. Just pay for our bandwidth. $5 a month. It doesn't matter. A little bit adds up, guys. Come on. It's not that much. Seriously. And appreciate it. What you can do on behalf of this show. We've done a good job, I know, keeping the network going with Nighthawk's passing. Quite frankly, the guys have done a good job. They haven't fixed the music in the background yet, but guys, you've done a good job. So thank you very much for your efforts in the studio side equally, because quite frankly, I've noticed it's solid. You guys have done a good job. So, from me personally and of course the listeners inside the Eye Live, thank you very much for your efforts. We appreciate it. But guys, donate something. Give them some, coffee. Do something over there. Anyways, this show is sponsored. Also, it's sponsored first of all by North Kakalaki Trading Posts, good services and solutions for all creatures great and small. And by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Frederick C. Blackburn. He is an NSA whistleblower, a former 32-degree Mason, a former North Carolina House candidate. And you can catch his show every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. That's 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. And for more information, be sure to visit Blackbird9TradingPosts.org, Blackbird9TradingPosts.org. Not much to report, quite frankly, on the cat report this week. Everything's going fine. The kittens are getting big. There's five of them. The eyes are open, man. That's about all I've got. The interesting thing about my cats, though, guys, is they're like kids. I swear. Not so much the girls, but Spikers is just like, really, he's like a knockoff of One Eye and good old Bruiser. We miss Bruiser still, to believe it or not. But yeah, he's kind of like those two, you know, very intelligent, really a smart guy. He's a little bit difficult for his eating habits, though. That's not a good thing. Just he's expensive to feed, basically. He's very clean. He's very polite for the most part. And he literally now, when Emily's coming home, because, you know, she's got her new salon, she's working, she's been doing some other work apparently to help raise some extra money. And so when she comes home, he's waiting there, just waiting. And then he comes running, almost like a kid would do, comes running when she comes walking up the pathway to the house. And it's like kind of cool. And he's like that. I know I can picture everything that she talks to me when she's talking about it. Him, I should say. So, you know, be nice to the animals, guys. I know I'm going to be taking care of, I'll check. One of my colleagues asked me to pay a campus a visit and take care of a particular bird, not a bird, a particular cat, I should say, a bird. And I'll probably be doing that just a few days a week, going up
making sure that the cat has something to eat. If it's not doing well, just check up on it every now and then. So guys, I'm going to be kind of like taking care of this guy's adopted cat for a while just to see and make sure he's okay. But that's just some things you want to do. Be polite to the animals. That's part of our Western heritage. Always take care for the animal kingdom. They do return many things back to us. We've always attributed, quite frankly, a lot of our success to being kind to the cats. You know, by being kind to the cats, things have come good for us. And so even the move was good to the Philippines. Everything's been good. So we always try to take care of the animals, everybody. And just that's the way it is. In spite of everything, we're still a good, caring people as Europeans, and let's not ever let that go. That doesn't mean we should not deal with our enemies within, but you know, we should always remain a good, caring people, and that's the main thing. Let's see. That's the ITEL Cat Report again, proudly sponsored by North Cackalacka Trading Post. Good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. Again, visit blackbird9tradingpost.org. That's blackbird9tradingpost.org for more information. And again, his show goes out every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. You know, one thing I wanted to say to Frederick, I know you're in the chat room, Frederick, and you're listening. You know, we are a big numbers guys. We like to watch our numbers here, right? And I tell you what, man, Frederick's shows from the summer are killing me. I'm telling you what, man, they're killing me. It's like the ratings for his shows are 40 to 50% higher than my own shows. I'm like, dang, dude, you have really, really, really come a long ways, you know, good for that. So it's a huge, you know, it's actually very, very big. Happy to see it happen for you, man, but you're killing me. You're killing me, dude. So anyways, and then your show with Woody, what's his name? Yeah, Woody. That also went down very well. So you know what? We've really happy to be able to hand this show over to really some able hosts who can then take in and fill in the shoes here and actually go better than I'm doing on the numbers wise. So guys, it's really great to have somebody like a Frederick backing the show and even supporting the show in a way that very few can, and that is to take up the airtime when yours truly is out and about doing what he has to do. So thanks so much, Frederick, and you're doing great, dude. Let's see here. It looks like it's time for the Oy Vey moment. Let me see if I can get that queued up easy enough. And that's not going to work. The Oy Vey moment. That should be the, you know, this TV is annoying. You know, I've got a TV here, guys, and I don't have a monitor yet for my computer. The monitor's actually due this week, and I'll be changing the monitor out on my production laptop. So I'm using the television here. And the television scrolls this stupid menu every like 12 seconds, and it covers up half the screen, and I just don't know how to stop it. But anyways, here goes.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
How is it run by you? They don't like you. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on boy and tears.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
Oy vey!
The Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. And for this week's Oy Vey moment, we're going to go two places. But the first place we're going to go is to the University of Central Florida. And this is a very serious issue. We need to bring it to your attention. This story came out just 2 days ago. Today's November 2nd. Okay, it came out yesterday. And it's really serious. Guys, sit down, get ready, because this is a very serious anti-Semitic issue that we have seen happening here. News alert. Flyer has been posted. A flyer has been posted at the University of Central Florida claiming that Jews attack campus free speech. That now, folks, is the latest anti-Semitic message coming from the Jewish community. Unbelievable chutzpah, isn't it, man? Here's a group actively engaged in silencing free speech, and somebody puts out a flyer on a campus, one flyer, by the way, that says that Jews are attacking campus free speech, and Jews want to attack the free speech of that person who just said it. Don't you love Jewish logic here? Now, to get into the story, flyers posted around campus at the university. Oh, it's flyers, more than one. Okay. See, these guys got to learn to write. The title says flyer, and the body of the story says flyers. So is it flyer or flyers? I don't know. Maybe it's just one flyer. Posted around. Okay, around would be more than one. University of Central Florida claimed that a recent state law against anti-Semitism would restrict criticism of the role of Jews in the United States. Well, duh. That's actually a factual statement. That's something we would be saying here. Every ounce of anti-Semitism speech, I don't know what you want to call it, man. Speech impairment. I don't know what they want to call that, but speech silencing is designed to really, at the end of the day, preclude you and me and students and those who have a stake in this country, which is really every citizen at the end of the day, from criticizing or discussing the role of Jews in our society. Now, when you find Jews, let's be honest, as a cultural group, they're not bashful. They tell you they run Hollywood. They tell you they run the media. They put forward a parade of nothing but Jews as talking heads. They control the editorial direction of our media. They are the enemy of the American people. No doubt about it. Now what they want to say is, okay, here's a law that says you can't talk about these things. Well, if you can't talk about certain issues like Jewish control of the media, which is part of this definition here that is being put into law in Florida, which is also known as a Jewish state, by the way. Florida, by the way, I think Trump just moved to Florida this week. He announced he's going to move to Florida due to high taxes up in New York. But nonetheless, guys, that is really what's at stake here. Laws that talk about anti-Semitism are nothing but laws designed to preclude you and me and the rest of us who have a stake in our society about talking about the roles of Jews in our societies. And when we talk about the roles of Jews in our societies, it's not so much driven by hatred and bigotry and all this crap Jews want to throw on our faces. It's all revolving around policy. It's revolving around the direction of our country, how we want to see the country go. We are saying that the Jewish way of sending us into the future is nothing but destruction. It destroys everything about Western European civilization. It destroys the homogenous nation we had. It's creating conflict. It's creating trash. It's creating an unsustainable environment. And Jews are saying, well, we don't care because we print the money and we can do whatever we want. And the rest of you guys deal with it. And we're saying, no, that's not how it's supposed to work. You Jews aren't above us. And Jews are saying, yes, we are. And that's really what the tit for tat is really all about. Jews are saying we're superior to you, and we're saying, no, you're not. You're just using your and abusing your power. We want to deal with this issue, and we want to return our country to ourselves. And they say, no, that's a supremacist attitude. Da, 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 da. And it goes round and round and round like a bunch of vicious dogs. It has to one day come to a head. And it's hard to bring it to a head if you can't talk about it. See, if you have ideas and we can debate the ideas, no problem. But Jews won't allow us to debate the ideas. Where we are successful, they deplatform us. They take down our channels, etc. I've had my all of my channels. I have like what 1,300 followers on Twitter and 600 followers on my YouTube account. And they just delete it all for community violations. Well, which community? My community is not your community. My community wouldn't have cared about your community. So why are you taking down my space on a social media platform? Because you don't like my message. You know I'm effective. And I'm a small guy. I'm not like Henrik, who just lost 330,000 subscribers there. Of course, that's why I didn't put a lot of effort, by the way, into YouTube, because I knew they would take it down anyway. So why should I bother building all this money and effort for YouTube just to have them take me down? The flyers, it says here, referred to a state law that was, again, signed in June, adopting the State Department's definition of anti-Semitism. But you have to ask yourself, why do we need all of these definitions of anti-Semitism for? Why don't you just say definitions of anti-Jewish ideologies? Why are you hiding behind this word Semitism? It's a loathsome, disgusting word that is weaponized by Jews to say they hate you. Every time a Jew uses the term anti-Semitism, I see a racist, hate-filled bigot who wants to just silence me. And when he uses or she uses that term against you or anybody else, that's how I view it. A racist, hate-filled, disgusting bigot who wants to silence you. I don't look at the use of this term as something noble. I see it as an absolute abomination, weaponized word against we, the people of Western civilization. The story goes on to say that the flyer cited some of the law's definitions. Well, what's wrong with that? They're like making this out to be a big deal. It's like including Holocaust denial and conspiracy. Well, why do we have to not? Why is it that you are telling us that we're denying something you haven't proven to me yet? Prove it to me. Then tell me I'm denying it. You haven't had a case to say this actually happened. You can't deny what doesn't exist, you morons in the Jewish community. Seriously, prove it to me. Prove it, prove it, prove it. And then talk about you Jews, your culture, and what you did to Soviet Russia. Talk about you Jews, what you did to Germany after World War II. Then let's talk about who's the most disgusting culture here and who should be held to a history that neither one of us participated in. Because that's what they're saying. You have to be beholden to some guilt trip over a history that we can't even talk about that has nothing to do with us today. The issues that we have today about Jews have nothing to do with 40 years ago, 50, 60, 70 years ago, other than the fact that Jews are behaving the exact same way that they were behaving 70 years ago that gave rise to National Socialism, which gave rise to Jews getting kicked out of most of Europe or at least silenced. And you know what? This is what I hate about Jews. They're so dishonest. 150,000 Jews served in the German army. 150,000. Do you realize that half of there was a huge number of Jewish people in the elite of German society? Even during the war, including the armed forces? Because the real issue wasn't with the Jewish people per se, because Jews still were behind all of these problems. It was with the communist faction, the same factions we have operating in our countries today. These are the main issues. Now, we can go into this and go on and on and on and on and say it's all Jews, this or that. But let's deal with the real difficult part. Let's first take out the communist side. Let's destroy the communist side. Let's destroy the Bolshevik side. Because that remains still the most spiritually dangerous of all of them. The nationalist side. I'm not saying support Israel. Israel is an abomination. It should be destroyed. It should be leveled. Our armed forces should take Tel Aviv and wipe it out completely. Haifa should be mind bombed. The Jewish people should be isolated. They should be literally sanctioned to death. And if we lose 400, 500,000 Jewish children, and they're going to say, well, was it worth it to you? I'm going to say, yeah, it was worth it. I'm going to take the same cold-hearted Jewish attitude towards the Jewish people in this case on a geopolitical level. Fetch, that's not what. Listen, I'm sorry, guys. Welcome to the world of geopolitics. It's not a nice game. And unless you're willing to do some of this stuff, guess what? Kind of like What's that song by the ex-Beatle? A working class hero is something to be. But, you know, if you want to be on the hill, first you must learn to smile as you kill. Well, when it comes to the Jewish people, I'm not going to do the killing, but I see no problem sanctioning them to where they start dying off. I'm not killing them. I'm just treating them like they treat everybody else, including the Germans, my culture, where we lost 7 to 11, as much as 14 million after the war. What, I'm supposed to poo-poo this is, oh, it's okay. How about my other heritage, my Irish heritage, which still continues to this day to see a genocide going on at the hands of Jewish policies? Guys, we understand the problem. It is a war. Hold on 1 second, everybody. I got someone at my door. Hold on. All right, I'm back, everybody. Sorry about that. We've had a blackout inside the building, and unfortunately, the switchboard is on my in my building here, so in my unit. So I've got the maintenance guy playing with all the breakers because somebody's unit is going out. So anyways, he'll take care of that while I continue. Where were we? We were talking about the geopolitics of it all and just how nasty this really is. See, the problem we have here is that the Jewish people are playing for control of this world all by themselves, and they have absolutely no values. They have no morality. They will do what they need to do. And as far as I am concerned, relative to 9/11, once you pulled off 9/11, it was bad enough when you did the USS Liberty in 1967. But when you pulled off 9/11 and then you sent the American people into so many wars across the Middle East, and you have effectively killed off, probably when you look at the drugs and everything else, over 1 million U.S. servicemen, not to mention what you did in the theft from the banking crisis of 2008. Guys, this is an existential enemy. This is not something to be joked about. This is a ruthless enemy that will do anything it has to do to maintain its superiority. These laws, like they're talking about at this university, the University of South Florida, it's just one element of the total warfare package Jews are bringing to the table here. Now, Yoni Mishani tweets out, despicable flyers were found. Oh, boy. All over UCS campus calling for legal protection to A, criticize the role of Jews in the United States. Why are we asking to have legal protection to do that? We already have legal protection. But Jews are saying, no, you don't. We have a First Amendment. To the Jewish people, what really you don't get in a real cold-hearted battle here is the First Amendment is first for a reason. The Second Amendment is there in case the first one fails. Jews don't grasp that fact. The First Amendment exists for a reason, and it's first for a reason. First talk, try to solve things, try to get things rationalized through. Let's find a way out of our differences. But if you choose a government system that is hell-bent, quite frankly, on tyranny, that precludes our rights as stakeholders in this great nation that's our great experiment, really, called the United States, then guess what? Then you need the Second Amendment. So Yoni Mitchell's talking about never mind pogroms. Hey, how about you talk about why the pogroms is this, you little flake? Because never mind that you just lied to all of us and never mentioned why pogroms were necessary. Isn't it funny how you want to hide behind never telling the truth? Never mind the Holocaust. Which one are you talking about? The one where you Jews killed 14 million Germans after the war? The one where you Jews killed 60 million Russians? The one where you Jews engineered the deaths of some 60 to 100 Chinese? Is this the Holocaust you are talking about that necessitates us now realizing you want to do the exact same thing to us here? You're taking the same blueprint right out of South Africa, and we see what's happening to South Africa. That was a white nation built on the backs of Western civilization's mindset in a land that was basically virgin and free, which is really the case of the United States equally. It was largely a virgin territory, not entirely, but largely. They go on, never mind ethnic cleansing by Arab states. That never happened, you morons. It's you Jews who are doing the ethnic cleansing. It's you Jews that believe in your Lebanon's wrong. It's you Jews who believe in this great idiot, you know, plan that's going to create this greater Israel. What do you think, Jews? We're all stupid. Seriously, you guys tweet this stuff out just to say I'm a freaking idiot? Because that's really what they're telling you. There's nothing sensible about this moron. History has fallen on deaf ears. Yes, it has, because Jews are hiding the truth. Yeah, that's the only statement you said here that's true. History has fallen on deaf ears. That's right. Actually, history hasn't fallen on deaf ears. Jews never allowed the history to be told in the first place. So we don't have actual history. So this flyer... Oh, we're going into a break. Maybe we'll just carry some more ranting over to the next hour. It's the Fetch, everybody, inside the Eye Live, Saturday, November 2nd, 2019. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's start of the second hour here inside the Eye Live for Saturday, November 2nd, 2019. You know, I'm feeling good today, guys, and that's maybe not a great thing because I'm just going to rant for 3 hours just because I kind of feel like it because I have the energy. Some of you might be disappointed by that. Sorry, guys, in the chat room, but I'll try. You know, I'll try to tone it down just a little, okay? Just a little. And what can I say? Where are we now? I'm in Riyadh. I'm in Riyadh. Planet Earth, Saudi Arabia. I'll tell you what, guys, I just want to throw something out. You know, I've been here in Saudi since 2006. I want to give you guys just a little bit of a side thing here. And I've been, you know, I was here back when the Mutawa was really strong. And the Mutawa was the religious police, the things that the Jews would often like talk a lot and joke about and say, look how repressive this Saudi society is. And it was pretty tough. Quite frankly, it was really bad. But if you notice, coming out of 2005, 2006, 2007, there was actually a very serious uprising in Saudi Arabia. And to their credit, they solved it without too much bloodshed. There was some bloodshed, but they did solve it. They did it, as my friend says, in the Saudi way. And people went back to work and tried to rebuild the kingdom and make things better. But as King Abdullah came into power and really started to consolidate his base, he really invested a lot in the people. And King Abdullah was basically seen as a brother. I remember a story with a friend of mine. He worked at the time, actually an old colleague, with the Ministry of Tourism. And I would always kid him. I'd say, come on, Abdullah, man, you can't do crap with the system. You know, you can't do it. You have to like change everything. And he said, Walla Dennis, we're trying. I said, but you got to change it. And then he told me a story where he was, cause he was like on my side. He was taking my point of view on this. And so I had the ear of people inside the Ministry of Tourism. And now they've opened up. You can actually get a visa and come visit me. You get a 90-day tourism visa from the States. It's an easy trip. You can actually come hang out with Fetch in Saudi Arabia and you can come. It's actually now easy for you to come. This was unheard of just 5 years ago. So last year even. But we were talking and he said he did something. He was criticizing the way things were working inside the Ministry of Tourism. And basically he was talking about how King Abdullah is just not doing enough for us to make things change. You know, and what he didn't know is King Abdullah was actually standing behind him. Literally the king, without too much bodyguards, without too much fanfare, was standing right behind my friend. And he said, I turned white because here I am criticizing, you know, the way things are being run here, how we don't have the tools to actually work here. And King Abdullah standing right behind him. And he told me King Abdullah just put his hand on his shoulder, says, brother, come on, let's have lunch and let's talk about your concerns. And he said it was the most amazing experience he had ever experienced, having the king of the country literally sit down with him for lunch and just talk about some of the issues about how to make tourism and the kingdom a little bit more friendlier for people. And of course, you're talking about a huge generation gap from a guy that's in his low 30s to King Abdullah, who at the time was in his 80s. So these are the times I remember. I remember a lot of these types of stories. And with the rise of Mohammed bin Salman, it's been, in some cases, they say it's been very ruthless. But I tell you what, the changes for the people here have been very positive. They need a better economy.
quite frankly, but everybody does. They need to still improve in a lot of regards. Everybody does. But I'll tell you, the changes from 2006, when I first came here, to 2019 are absolutely phenomenal. Their immigration system is clean. It's not like America. Seriously, it's way better than America. In America, they sit there and they want to question you about everything when you come through the door inside of America. Most people I know, they try not to go to America. They actually tried to go through Abu Dhabi because America has an immigration clearinghouse, immigration center in Abu Dhabi. And the people, as they say, the people in Abu Dhabi aren't assholes. That's how they describe it. He said the people in America, the immigration in America are just a bunch of idiots. They're stupid, brain dead assholes is some of the way they describe it to me. And you know what? I believe them. I know my people. I'm not going to say, oh, you can't say that about Americans. No, I'm going to go, yeah, I know. Because last time I came to America, I was held for 5 hours in immigration. 5 hours, guys. And I'm American, okay? All because they saw my passport, Iraq, this, that. So guys, the world changes. And we have to always work better to make that world change. We have to work. There's really no way around it. And the only way we can really make that work is within our Western system is we have to allow for discussion. Without discussion, there's going to be nothing. See, you don't have the same style of discussion here in the Middle East, but there's discussion all the time. Like I told you, he wasn't even my colleague. I was his mentor, so to speak, you know, and I'm explaining to him what I think should happen. And then sure enough, we're here three, four years later, we're here. But, you know, he is sitting there discussing. We're discussing and he's discussing and he actually takes what he's discussing straight up to the king. You're going to get to the president? No, you're not. See, so discussion's going on all the time. Don't allow the media to sell you on this idea that everything is so repressive around the world, but you don't look around your own country and you see the repression all around you. This story we are talking about, like in Florida, for instance, it's unbelievable, the chutzpah of the Jewish community, because you have what's called a State Department anti-Semitism definition. Why do we need a State Department definition? Because Jews run our State Department and they demanded that they get one so they can use this, hold it up as like a book, a dreidel point. See, look at this paper. See. Who cares? Dude, I don't care about your definition. It's irrelevant. I never had any input in that and I don't accept it. And I guarantee you, if you go into my group of people, we don't accept it. And we're not going to allow it to be pushed on us because it's basically a paper of garbage. The campus at this case, in this story coming out of South Florida, the campus pro-Israel group, Knights for Israel. Well, look, if you're a pro-Israel group, you're a fifth column. Get off the campus. Our campuses are not for you to preach about Israel. Get off campus. Get out of campus. It should be shut down. Send them all back to Israel. And if they're Americans, take away their citizenship and ship them back to Israel. Verify that they're really Jews, you know, take their DNA and let the government tell us in Israel and then send them back. And they say here in their Facebook post that the incident was a disgraceful attempt to hide behind the abuse, free speech. Actually, let me rephrase that. They called this particular flyer a disgraceful attempt to hide behind and abuse free speech to be anti-Semitic. Well, let me explain to the Jewish people what's really happening here. You are using the term anti-Semitic to abuse our right to free speech. It's that simple. We have a right to talk about you. We have a right to criticize you. We have a right to not agree with you. We have a right to tell you your policies absolutely suck. We have a right to tell you that Israel is a shithole country. We have a right to tell you that your support of Israel makes you a traitor in our eyes. We have a right to continue to push for our own values above this crappy Jewish system you guys have. And it's not for you to hide behind the term anti-Semitic and try to silence us. It's not that we're being cowards and hiding behind free speech to abuse, to become anti-Semitic. No, the issue is we don't agree with you, period. And we don't like you, period. And you don't like us, period. That's why you make laws to silence me. Where are my laws to silence you in the Jewish community? Where are they? Seriously. Screw these people on a very real term. Who are these Jews to create laws to silence us? Where are our laws in 200 years that we're out there silencing Jews? Where are they? They come to power. They've only been here on the scene about 20 years, and they're already going to show everybody how big and bad they are and silence everybody? What type of petty little tyrant, disgusting people these are. And how can you view it otherwise? They've only been in power, what, 15, 20 years of real hardcore power, and they already want to silence you? For 200 years, we never ever said anything that says, you Jews can't open your mouth. But they're doing that to us after 20 years in power? Excuse us? Who's the tyrant here? Who's hiding behind a term? It's not us. They're hiding behind the term anti-Semitic. We're not hiding behind free speech. How stupid is that? What type of moron is this in the Jewish community? I swear, you Jews who come up with this logic, you are the dumbest, most idiotic, stupid people I've ever met. Free speech to criticize you guys because we don't agree with your policies is free speech to criticize you because we don't like your policies. Don't hide behind anti-Semitic just because you're a coward and don't want to deal with the fact that we don't like your policies. The University of Central Florida in Orlando has 6,000 Jewish students. Why do you have so many freaking Jewish students on your campus? Seriously. Seriously, how? Why? You're only 1% of the population. You probably, you know what? You probably should have no more than 600 people there. So already there's something wrong. There's corruption inside of this campus. You don't see us driving you people out of campuses, but maybe that day has to come. And it's coming. It is coming. It's already here. It's already here. Jews are already killing people. They're already kicking people out of their jobs. They're already destroying them the right to make money. They're already forcing people to take vaccines and killing entire or destroying entire families. They're already engaged in so much harm to the American people, and the American people just don't want to talk about it. And that's the issue about creating laws that silence free speech in America. Because they don't want the truth of their evils against the American people getting out. Why else would you silence it? Never mind the pogroms. Who's creating the pogroms? I lost 40,000 Americans last year in the opioid crisis. Who's creating the pogroms here? Excuse me. Excuse me. I lost 40,000 people last year because you Jews want to peddle all of this crap onto our people through your little deep state plus medical professions. Who's creating the pogrom here? What do you think? Americans aren't supposed to be incensed about losing 40, 45, 50,000 people of their people due to you Jews in the medical community that are pushing the opioids on all these kids and to whole communities for that matter. Man, the idiocy from the Jewish community just astounds me. The problem is there's no logic to these people. They twist everything upside down and throw it out there and like they act like you. Wow, I was so smart. I took reality, turned it 180 degrees, and I threw it out there. And I'm a Jew. Don't notice. You're supposed to be a Nazi. Don't be a Nazi. And then don't. Oh, God, these guys are stupid. Really, we are dealing. And the problem here is nobody wants to call out stupidity for what it is. That's the political correctness of this all. Political correctness, when you really think about it, is just the inability to speak truth to idiocy. That's all political correctness is, and that's actually not correct. It's politically incorrect because we are basically deceiving everybody, including ourselves, by not speaking truth to idiocy. What else? I closed the wrong file here. You know, and there's another really serious incident. And this happened in New Jersey, North Jersey to be exact. And this is, I mean, really serious stuff. And it warrants, quite frankly, spending a lot of time writing up these stories about it and making sure you get it out there because, you know, it's very, very serious. And no, we're not talking about the weather or the fact that the Nationals are going to be going to the White House this week. This is something terrible. I mean, it's so bad, we have to involve the cops. And what it is there's been a swastika. That's right. A swastika was used to deface campaign signs left on a candidate's lawn. That's right. We're getting the cops involved because a swastika was used and spray painted on a campaign sign left on a candidate's lawn. Wow. Signs encouraging votes in the upcoming local election in a North Jersey town were defaced Wednesday night with anti-Semitic symbols, candidates said. Well, first of all, a swastika is not anti-Semitic. It is pro-German, okay? It's pro-German. That's what it is. It's anti-Jewish. We agree with that. Semitic is just a coward word. Cowards use the word Semitic. Losers use the term Semitic. Idiots use the term Semitic. Communists, anti-American agitators use the term Semitic. Truthful, honest people would say very simply that this is an anti-Jewish symbol because it was the Germans who stood up to Jewish power in the 1930s. Democrats in Ringwood posted on Facebook saying two signs, wow, two signs, spray painted with swastikas were planted on the front lawn of Jennifer Shue. Why would it be put it on Jennifer Shue? Is she Chinese or is she Jewish? Really, think about it. I bet you this was done by a Jew and they got the cops involved. And then they want to use, here's the problem with all of these stories that I talk about. Jews want to use this fusillade, is that a proper term? I think fusillade is the right word. This fusillade of events to then create the laws to silence and impinge upon our freedoms. Silence our speech and impinge upon our freedoms. And the funny thing is none of these had anything to do with us. So the laws shouldn't be targeting us and the use of anti-Semitic symbols. Really, it should be targeting Jews directly. Any Jew that tries to use what they term anti-Semitic symbology should be met with the absolute violent efforts of the state to destroy them. That would make more sense because they're trying to use this fusillade of events to create a situation where the state can use absolute power to destroy everybody opposed to them. So the preemptive strike, logically, is to use law, if you really think about it, that any time a Jew uses a false flag like this and tries to gain any sympathy in the media whatsoever, that person should be mandated 25 years, take them out. Now, I know that sounds harsh, but don't worry. Take them out. Destroy them. Because they're using this tactic to create a series of stepped events to where then the ADL, the SPLC, and all these idiots up in Congress are saying, oh, anti-Semitism on the rise. No, it's not the anti-Semitism that's on the rise. It's the fact that Jewish people are creating these series of events, like calling from Tel Aviv and trying to threaten everybody like for 2,000 times, and then using these quote-unquote these incidents to go after us. And then you want to silence us. No, the issue isn't silencing your free speech, guys, and your Second Amendment rights are two issues that you should never compromise on. Because if you can't, well, look, you're living in a republic. You need people to talk about issues. You need to find representatives that meet your views of what those issues are and then have them be elected into a government system that can now change the system that matches your views. And if your views are anti-Jewish, there's nothing wrong with that. Jews, by their own admission, are only 2% of the population. Their views don't match ours. We were never asked to be flooded and have our country brought down to a 65-35% racially diverse country. And that goes for Europe equally. None of us asked for this. None of us voted on this. Jews just imposed it on us. This, as far as I'm concerned, every Jew behind the immigration scam is an enemy of not just of the American people, but of Western civilization itself. Eventually, I don't know. Now, cops have been asked to comment on these two signs. Come on, Jennifer Hsu, that's Chinese, guys. Ringwood police asked anyone with information to come forward. You can call. Here's the number, by the way. Call them. Say, you guys are idiots. You should call them. Look, 973-96. It's published. It's public knowledge, guys, so I can release the number. 973-962-7017. 973-962-7017. Ask the police, are you really so stupid to go looking for a swastika on a sign? Whoever did it, really? Is that the big problem in your city? Representative Josh Gottheimer. Yep, there you go. Another fabulous. I don't want to get the Peruvians mad at me, but this great Peruvian here. The swastika scrawled on signs in Ringwood are a disgusting display of anti-Semitism. First of all, Mr. Gottheimer, every time a Jew uses the term disgusting, people should say no. Your use of the term disgusting is a disgusting abuse of our language to cover for the fact that people don't like Jewish policies. You little scumbag for talking to us like that. Who the hell are you? Get out of here and go back to Israel if you're not liking the way that we do things here. He goes, this hate-motivated crime. What do you mean a hate-motivated? Do you really know the motivation, or are you just a freaking moron? Think about it. Does this idiot really know the motivation? Maybe it's a joke, you freaking moron. Again, you're projecting into this your own Jewish disgusting mentality. And it's everywhere. It's prevalent. It's like you can't hide it anymore. Go to Twitter. Oh, my gosh. I thought I had my Twitter account actually re-upped. I thought they maybe reinstated it, So I'm going through this old Radio ITEL account, right? And I'm thinking it's not. It's reinstated, guys. But I'm going through and I'm like, man, where are all these? I'm not following anybody. Why do I have these people in my home feed? And it was nothing but a parade of a bunch of idiots from the Jewish community, the influencer community, which would then be considered the blue check marks, and then some politicians, and it was nothing but anti-white hatred, anti-Western, anti-Trump. I could not believe, quite frankly, because I haven't been to Twitter in a long time, but I could not believe the level of anti-Trump sentiment out there. Man, they are going overtime with this anti-Trump stuff. It's actually kind of amazing, quite frankly, that you can have a society of so many delusional idiots, and they probably actually believe themselves. That's the funny thing about this. So anyways, guys, that's kind of wrapping up two little stories that are kind of an extended Oy Vey moment. One is Gottheimer whining about, anti-Semitism. You little freaking crybaby, I swear. I'm going to get some crybaby soundtracks. Every time a Jew whines and cries, I'm going to play the soundtrack. I'm so sick of these people. Seriously, as an American adult citizen, I'm sick of these people. I've never seen a group of adults whining and crying like the Jewish community. I've never seen it. From just an adult perspective, I can't grasp what a bunch of morons these are. I can't go down that. And then I'm thinking these morons are ruling over us. That's bad news, man, because we got a bunch of jerks and idiots and totalitarian monkeys literally ruling over us that have no respect for human rights, no respect for human values, no respect for our Western systems of thought. I mean, come on, man. Putting a swastika is like this great big thing to go call the police. That's like a childhood prank, and you're calling the police, you morons? Man, you guys are idiots. Seriously. The Jewish community in America is absolutely nauseating. I mean, think about this. He goes, just let me read this last thing for you. He says, as if you guys have a say in stopping me, right? He says, unfortunately, listen, Jewish talk here, the hyperbola, vile evidence that anti-Semitism and hate-driven extremism is on the rise here and around the world. We must continue fighting against all forms of hate. Oh, screw yourself, dude, because you guys aren't going to touch Jewish hate. You know it and we know it. You just sit there and made a complete jackass out of yourself, dude. And people need to talk like that to these people. Start shouting down to this arrogant, holier-than-thou, self-righteous mightiness that Jews think they have and possess. People need to start shouting it down and say, you know what, dude? That type of language disgusts the heck out of me. Who are you? You know what? You're not going to deal with hatred from the Jewish community. You know it and I know it. So get out of our faces with this type of crap. That's where this has to start going. Just take it down to common sense, good old American fashion language, and stop dilly-dallying around, I guess you could say. It's really annoying. Anyways, it is what it is. Apparently, this shoe is a professor emeritus, by the way, at William Patterson University, formerly chaired its Department of Communication Disorders. Wow, great title there. I'm impressed, Ms. Shoe. Good luck to you. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live. Back with more right after this. Okay, welcome back. We're halfway through. I'm almost out of breath, guys. I've still got another half the show to do. But welcome. It's Inside the Eye Live right here on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. If you're new to the show, I'm sorry. It's just a rant-filled day. If you're not new to the show, hope you're enjoying the show. If you're not enjoying the show, send me an email. Heck, thefetch@insidetheeyelive.com. You know, I get emails from people all the time, and I do catch and read. I do respond to many. If not all, but not all, you know, but many, most actually. So thefetchedinsidetheeyelive.com. I am also, you can find me on Gab at Radio Itel. I do still have the Gab Radio Itel account on Gab. I've been following a couple new people. I don't know their names off the top of my head, but they've really written some really good stuff. And it's like, that's kind of stuff we say here on Inside the Eye Live. So guys, our message here on Inside the Eye Live, it's out there all over the place now. Seriously, even as I was talking Thursday night, you know, when I was listening to Henrik Palmgren on No More News with Adam Green, I'm not necessarily a big fan of, you know, that show per se, but, you know, it has its popularity and it's probably more popular than my show in some respects. And so just respect it for what it is. I'm not going to criticize it. And so I watched it and I'll tell you, they were basically saying what we're saying here anyway. So, guys, our message is out there. We're a little bit harder core about it, and perhaps we're too strong. I don't know. That's for you, the listener, to decide. I guess most of you decide by not listening, I guess. But we are out there. You know, we are certainly out there every week doing what we do two times a week live right here on revolution.radio. And it's a task. It's a chore. It's a labor of love, so to speak. It's a duty and an obligation to really our civilization that has given us so much, to our nations that has given us so much, and we want to stay as engaged and involved as possible. We would like to continue to raise awareness, to create what we can, really, the ideas, talking points. If it's just a pep talk, even anything that works is good. You know, one at a time, one at a time. We didn't get here in this mess that we have now overnight, and it's not going to get out of it overnight. I'm talking to people, you know, people, there's a lot of talk about civil war in America. And the truth of the matter is, civil war is already here in America. And we've talked about that for quite some time. Look, when you have a political establishment that is creating laws that essentially impose vaccines, for instance, on children, and you have a 1 in 50 autism rate, and you know that children are getting 4, 5, 7, 8 vaccines, and the next day they're waking up dead, and they were perfectly healthy the day before. That is a form of civil war. Instead of shooting with a gun, they're shooting with a needle, but they're still firing at you. They're still killing you. They're still maiming you. The same holds true in the media. When you go out there and you speak your language, you speak your right, which is to have an idea and to speak, and if it happens to go against Jewish policies, and Jews want to use that very act of yours to destroy you, well, they didn't fire a gun. But they still fired at you. They still took you out. They still took you down. You're still a casualty. So to say that America at this stage is not in a civil war is naive. We are in a civil war. We see it everywhere around us if you really start to pay attention. this weekend, actually not this weekend, the Halloween 2 days ago. And I hope you guys at 4chan, those that actually do listen, I know somebody surely does. I hope you guys continue every year or every half year you do this campaign. You make it to where it becomes a ritual to where your numbers grow. I think it's a brilliant idea, quite frankly, by the 4chan people. And that is the idea of hanging signs out there that says it's okay to be white. Because let's be honest, everyone that's paying attention understand that Jews don't believe it's okay to be white. They think it's not okay. They think that they need to destroy civilization based on Western European values, on Western European DNA completely. They want to abolish Western European people entirely. And you may disagree with that statement, but do your own research. Go out there and start look about Kodenherv Kalogi, Kodenhove Kalergi, and the rest of the stories that are behind the mass destruction of Western European civilization. So Huffington Post, they were kind enough to run stories about this. They did this in their Black Voices edition. And this, this is old. This one's old. I pulled the wrong story. Sorry, guys. I thought I pulled the fresh one. Okay, well, it's not okay to pull old stories and sell it as new, right? Darn. This is 2 years old, man. This was the original one. Darn. I don't want to talk about two-year-old news here. Well, see, that's how long it's been going. It's been going on for 2 years. So, you know, the point here is that we can count. And the people at 4chan, they're pretty bright people. A lot of these kids still are very bright, and they're some of them are politically savvy. Can't call all of them savvy, but certainly some are. And they're genius at this meme type of warfare. They short attention span, I guess, breeds genius on how to talk in a short attention span type of mindset, huh? But let's see here. Let me see if I can pull up a clip here that played just this yesterday in Massachusetts. And basically, you know, somebody hung a thing that said it's okay to be white over a pretty busy overpass. And, you know, the Jewish media up there, I shouldn't say Jewish media. Maybe it's not. But nonetheless, they went bananas over this. They just couldn't handle the fact that somebody actually put up a sign that says it's okay to be white on an overpass. And there we go.
A story you'll see on just one station, a sign hanging over the Mass Pike in Newton, causing some controversy. It reads, "It's okay to be white." Our cameras were there when a man ripped that sign down. 7 Steve Cooper is live in Newton with a story you'll only see on 7.
Now, before we get into all of that, why would it cause controversy? Seriously, what is controversial about a phrase that says, "It's okay to be white"? Think about it. Why is that considered controversial? On the face of it, it honestly doesn't make any sense. But fortunately, the ADL, the local ADL chapter, he's going to chime in on this and tell us why, quite frankly, it's so darn controversial. And as usual, you're going to find that Jews are going to project themselves into this fiasco. And it lets you really kind of know the mindset of what is really in the heart and the minds of Jewish people through their organizations.
That sign down. 7 Steve Cooper is live in Newton with a story you'll only see on 7.
Right, so the sign is down this afternoon, but not before it was seen by so many commuters out here on the Mass Pike earlier today. And it led one man who was on the pike with his daughter to pull over and take the sign down.
And they purposely choose the Mass Pike to draw attention to people who are driving and get attract attention to themselves.
A large banner with the words, "It's okay to be white," hanging over the Mass Pike in Newton for many to see during the morning commute. The head of the Anti-Defamation League of New England not wasting any time in speaking out.
It's pretty disappointing to see people in Massachusetts using a platform like that to disseminate a message that excludes people. And
now, with all due respect to this stupid idiot over at the ADL, we have a country like Israel where you have to be Jewish to go live. We all know that everybody in the ADL is basically an Israeli front. It works for the state of Israel. And I don't ever believe that this idiot's going to say it's okay to be Jewish is going to be a problem. And therefore, it's excluding others by saying it's okay to be Jewish. How does it's okay to be white talk about saying it's exclusionary? Where did he come up with that? Again, their minds, they're so stupid in a very real way that they are projecting onto the situation precisely what is in their minds. There's nothing about this that says it's exclusionary. It's saying it's okay to be white. It's okay to be yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. Literally, there is just nothing wrong with that. But yet they continue to foster this type of mentality. From the 321 area code, hi, welcome to Inside the iLife.
Aren't you married to a Negro, Fett?
No, actually, I'm not, dude, but nice try. It was Filipino.
But no, it's Filipino.
Dude, shut the hell up, man. I swear this guy's an idiot. He should have gotten it. It's Filipina, not Negro, okay? He should have gotten it. Again, this type of Jew, I think he's Jewish now. I think when they called Rabbi Rick, I really think he's Jewish because he's completely dishonest. I swear, the guy spends an inordinate amount of time actually not telling the truth, not even trying to get hinted at it. Aren't you married to a Negro? No, you stupid moron. Everybody that's listening and paying attention knows it's from the Philippines. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows, Mr. Rick. Please try to be kind of semi-goyish here and have a little bit of truthfulness to your story. But anyways, thanks for calling in. Man, what a joke. What a complete moron. Really, the guy's a complete moron. are we allowed to do that to the callers, by the way, on the shows? I'm not sure. I don't know proper caller etiquette, you know, when I do radio shows. Maybe I'm just not professional enough. But nonetheless, going back to this Jewish guy, why exactly is this controversial? Why is it? I just don't understand Jewish logic here.
That sign down. Seven Steve Cooper is live in Newton with a story you'll own.
That didn't work. Let's try. I think it's about here. We're going to fast forward, guys.
Being white is such an advantage in the society, and to suggest otherwise is just straight out racism.
Freedom of speech, but questions about the legalities of hanging a sign over the Mass Pike. The ADL says the It's Okay to Be White campaign goes back 2 years, and it's a matter that must be addressed. So not commenting sends the wrong message.
It's important for people not to be persuaded or attracted to a message like this, because behind the words is bigotry. Behind the words.
How honestly is it's okay to be white? How is that bigotry? Again, this just shows you that the ADL has zero interest in advancing European values at all. They want to silence European values. They want to destroy European values. And they want you to not be able to have any pride as European diaspora in your own heritage, in your own, really, your own culture.
Is hate.
All right, now we did talk to Newton Police late this morning about all this. They told us that they handle these incidents when people put signs up over these overpasses here on the Mass Pike. They handle them on a case-by-case basis. They say, in this case, they would have urged the person to take the sign down, but by the time officers arrived here on the scene, it was already taken down.
Now, if you can imagine now, the Jewish community is talking in this. I think I cut some off by advancing it a little bit there. From that phone call, I guess the guy got angry because Rabbi Rick knew what I was going to be doing here. The whole issue now really is that the Jewish community vis-a-vis the ADL is basically saying that we must stop the spread of this message. That's kind of what he was saying there. I kind of cut it out, but he's basically saying we have to stop the spread of this message. It is not acceptable. So what the Jewish community vis-a-vis the ADL is saying is that European, Americans, and let's be honest, most Americans still, it's 65, 70% technically, maybe it's less realistically, but they're basically saying it's not okay to be American. Let that sink in for a minute. The Jewish community, for all their pomp and all their arrogant puffery, they're basically telling Americans, you can't be American. You cannot be a European American. You have to silence this, because if you're a European American, Jews are going to, they're like, what's the difference if they call you a deplorable, irredeemable? A racist, a hatred, a bigot, or an anti-Semite? What's the difference? They're still calling you names. And they're using these names to dehumanize you, to take away what? Your ability to have a foundation to stand on your own and defend yourself. I find this behavior, guys, to be absolutely loathsome and disgusting. I've been dealing with it, honestly, on my own for, what, 15 years? 14 years? I was at the forefront of this entire thing that you see nowadays online. I was like the poster child to practice it on. And I'm not even joking about that. I was the poster child to practice this on, to defame people, to lie about them, to troll them, to get them riled up, to get them to react, to get them banned. I was the poster child of this technique, all from the Daily Stormer Weave people. They were the ones that behind it. They were the ones that crafted this, whether it's to their credit or they're just too stupid, didn't realize the long-term effects, but they were the ones that were behind creating everything we see today about deplatforming people in the media. They're the ones to blame. You want to go after people? Go after the Weave and his merry band of gay niggers. That's what they called themselves. Yeah, that's a white nationalist for you, right? The Gay Niggers Association of America. That's the white nationalism movement. Daily Stormer. Woohoo. Yeah. Let's go get them. Gas them all. Ooh, boy, that's great stuff. So, guys, I'm not sure why, quite frankly, Jews think that they can win on this when we can see clear as day that they are looking. They are really seeking to silence us. I'll tell you, you know, I'm just not one to be silenced. I don't care. To me, once you're silenced, guys, in a very real way, you're not really a sovereign person anymore. Your mind is controlled. You know, that person lives in your head 24/7, you know, that you just don't have a right to think anymore. If you say something, you're thinking of that other person that's going to harm you, so you're not going to talk. So that person lives in your head. And I don't know why Jews believe they have a right to live inside of our heads. We have a right to our own space. And when Jews create dynamics that really are designed to impose their views upon you and then impose behaviors upon you vis-a-vis just speaking your mind, that Jew is living inside your head. And who gave him that right? Really? And do you now have a right to kick that Jew out of your own brain? Out of your own thoughts? If you are afraid to speak up because you're afraid of one Jewish organization saying something, or one Jewish group doing something to you, or one Jewish person at the local community, teachers, you know, parents, teachers association complaining about you, that Jew is living inside your head. Now, we cannot divorce all people from our minds. That's not possible. But the idea that Jews believe they have a right to insert their ideas and views into your head and that you are not supposed to reject those views, that's at the core of this whole argument here. The Jew wants to live inside your brain through imposing rules of conduct over you that prevents you from removing the Jew from your own brain. No one's really thought of it that way. But that's what's happening. When you look at this, we must fight anti-Semitism. We must have zero tolerance for anti-Semitism. We must pass this definition so that we can now use this definition to arrest people for talking about us. Well, if you're aware of the situation, typically you're also aware of the environment around you. You're aware of the laws. You're aware of the fact that Jews are totalitarians. You're aware that they have their cheka in the police force willing to do their bidding. You're not going to get anybody to go arrest a Jew because you don't like what they said. Come on. But Jews can go and call the local cheka agent inside the local police and get you arrested if they really don't like what you said. And they can use some nebulous law to try to hold you responsible to that. They can go try to, they can do that. You can't do that. And being aware of that means what? You won't speak because you're afraid of what that Jew might do, right? So is the Jew inside your head? Absolutely. It's an evil insertion into your mind. Now you have to ask yourself and humanity, really look at it this way. You, as an individual, should have every right to remove that thought from your brain. And the idea of freedom of speech is such as to remove this evil totalitarian entity from your mind. And you can just give it a simple word and just call it Jew if you want. You can call it whatever you want. I don't care. I'll use the term Jew because it works. Because that mindset, that's Talmudic Torah mindset, wants to insert itself into you. Then from there, you can go into your family. When you have Jews creating an agenda where teachers are openly advocating for things like transgender transitioning children as low as 7, 8 years old, we've all been there, guys. All of us have gone through childhood. And you know that is so wrong. That is so insidiously sinister to be doing something like that to a child. It's beyond evil. And just think of how much money flows to Jewish-controlled drug companies who now can start to sell all of this crap to the children to literally chemically destroy them for life. Think about it. Now Jews have not only inserted themselves into your mind privately because you're afraid of speaking out for fear of being called an anti-Semite, to now you're dealing with this Jewish evil monstrosity within your own family as children come home brainwashed by an education system that does not have their interests at heart, but really does have Jewish economic and social interests at heart, which is A, to gain customers for their drug companies, B, to destroy your family. Now you ask yourself, do you have a right to exercise this evil from your mind? Because Jews will talk about, oh, don't forget about the pogroms. They don't talk about the fact that they have inserted themselves first into your mind because you're aware. You understand the game. You get what they're doing. Two, into your family. You see what they're trying to do to your children, to your daughters, etc. Do you have that right to exercise that from your midst? More on this as we come back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically awake. Again, it's November the 2nd, 2019. Back after this.
Okay, we're back. Final hour, Inside the Eye, live Saturday, November 2nd, 2019. Hope you are enjoying the show, everybody. If you're a newbie to the show, we can only apologize to you because, you know, we're just kind of ranting along. Don't know if we're making any sense, but it sounds good. That's the important part, right? Doesn't make any sense, but it sounds good. Kind of like Jewish logic. Let's see here. Where are we? We're kind of talking about, this idea of, do you have a right to purge evil from your mind? And, you know, do you have that right? And somebody said in the chat room, well, they can't rest inside your heart. Well, they can. If it does, there, if it just festers, I guess, you know, but certainly you have an ability to purge it there if you're wise enough.
You know, I saw a great meme the other day because it's a big becoming a big deal with the younger generation. You just can't talk to these kids anymore. If you give them advice, it doesn't matter if it's solid advice. You're going to basically get the comment back, okay, boomer. Basically this dismissive mentality of theirs. It's like, you know what, dude? I'm old for a reason. There's a reason. I've lived through a lot of things. If you want to fight, it's okay. I'm old for a reason. And we've been through a hell of a lot. Let's be honest. A lot of us have been through a hell of a lot that a lot of the people have not been through. And we're not going to wish some of this on anybody. Quite frankly, we live it and we'll explain it and be the sacrificial lamb to describe it all to you. But I'll tell you, sometimes you got to wonder where this world's going to. Let's leave the issue we were just talking about for a while, or at least for a while, we'll always come back to it. Now, if not today, next some other day, right? But you know, we have. I think this is the 1 year anniversary of the Yellow Vest movement, something like that. It's been 1 year. As I've heard, the numbers are starting to decline, but you know, it's the numbers are kind of staggering. This isn't even the latest numbers. You know, if we go back. Even back to May, which is like half a year ago now, there were 268 head injuries brought about by police use of force. Threats, insults, restrictions on freedom of the press, they called 145 of those. Injuries to lower limbs, 106. Upper limb injuries, 64. Back injuries, 26. Hand injuries, 15. Injuries to genitals, 5. Other not specified, 107. What's not talked about here is five people have actually lost their hands, or at least one hand. Others have lost at least one eye. So the violence is all around the world now. You have massive protests ongoing inside of Iraq. I know Abdul Mahdi, the prime minister, he said, look, I'll be willing to step down, but I'll tell you what, why don't you, Mr. Sadr, and your far right Shia movement declare who can be your successor to me, and I'll go ahead and resign. There's just no point in resigning if there's nothing left here. We have to have some vacuum. See, the constitution that the Iraqis adopted gives no provisions for what happens if the prime minister actually resigns. It gives provisions for if he's removed, but not if he resigns. So he's saying, look, we don't have a provision for it. Common sense says I'll be happy to resign, but you guys come forward with my replacement. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'll go ahead and resign. State Department, Mike Pompeo and others have been talking about how, you know, it's time to give these people justice, the Iraqi people, the justice they deserve. And the problem with the State Department chiming in is they're just culpable. You know, they are seen as being a meddling in internal affairs of other countries. And it's kind of like a proven fact now that the State Department often engages in assisting the CIA in regime change. So the State Department, unfortunately, due to their stupidity over the years and their known involvement in color revolutions, they have no credibility. So if the State Department chimes in, it's almost as if, you know, the State Department is speaking on behalf of the protesters and they control the protesters. So it doesn't look good to have the State Department actually talking nowadays, but you've got the protests going on inside of Hong Kong, Chile, and I think there's something like, I don't have the number, I think it appeared in something called Zero Hedge, I think had the numbers. But something like 16, 18 different countries now have some type of violence, so civil unrest going on out there. You have Barcelona right now that is just a powder keg waiting to go. Of course, you've got things going on down in South Central, Southern Africa. You have Central Africa, South Central Africa. Just all over the world, we have all this unrest going on. And who's to say that the United States won't be next? You know, people keep talking about the United States, you know, is headed to the streets. And, you know, really, should it head to the streets? I'm thinking, no, you cannot allow this to get chaotic. There's no chaos. I think Jews in America, especially those in the elite circles, those in the banking circles, those in the corporate circles, they would actually like to see it go to the streets, have a shooting war, let both sides, whatever side, start to just shoot at each other, kind of bleed each other dry, and then Jews will come and mop it up like we see it, like Hitler did, quite frankly, in the Warsaw Ghetto, what the Germans did with the Warsaw Ghetto, just let everybody kind of fight it out and then come in, clean up the mess after it was all said and done. So maybe it could get to the streets in America. But, you know, you look at places like California now. You know, we were talking a number of years ago, not a number of years, number of months ago, like the best way to defeat this monstrosity is to just shut off the power. Well, we've had that actually happen now in California. And I'm like, you know what? We've been talking about how we need to get people disconnected from the matrix. We need it. And PG&E, they're accommodating this idea. So I'm kind of curious to see what happens. Now, what we do know is happening in California right now. If you're not familiar, California has got a complete failed infrastructure. That's not a great way to say that. California's infrastructure is failing, put it that way, especially when it comes to its electrical grid. The electrical grid, at least vis-a-vis PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, it's the largest electricity company in the world, or at least in the United States, not the world. It has been taken over by a Rothschild investment company. For 20 years now, they have done two things. One, embrace diversity. And two, forego real engineering of its grid. Good old-fashioned American engineering, as we used to call it. Just really engineer to where it doesn't fail. They haven't done that. They've tried to cut corners, make it cheaper, praise their local diverse workforce and go out and have parties and say, oh, look at us. We're so great. We're living really off of the backs of what white Americans built for us 20, 30, 40 years ago. Oh, aren't we great? Oh, we got a great job now. And they've done nothing as employees, as management, to really force that company to serve the customers. And that goes really for the people out there on the streets equally, the ones that are driving the trucks. They haven't really, they've maintained it, sure. But nobody's ever spoken up and said, hey, look, if we don't invest in the infrastructure of PG&E, we're going to have problems. We need to tighten this up. And nobody knows better than the guy on the street. He's the guy that's dealing with this day in and day out. So I question. Now, what's happening here in California is people are getting pissed off at PG&E. Well, they should. PG&E is just cutting their power off. Now, we've always said one way to defeat this great evil is to take down the electricity grid. Now, we're not the ones taking it down. We would be more prepared than this. You know what I mean? We would be more prepared. So here's the point. To get this system that Jews have created, to keep it effective, you need the electrical grid up. You need it up. So now the point here is that we are looking as a society, a white Western society, is how do we now create the electrical grid such that we can survive, because Jews have created a third world country, okay? But still, there's advantages here. We create a situation to where you have elements of the society disconnected from the grid. They're not getting the programming anymore. They're not getting the BS from the Jewish media anymore. Their phones are starting to go down because they can't be plugged in all the time. We were asking what would happen if this really happens. We really do have an experiment now, not just from the Jewish side, but also from our side. The problem here is that this happened without preparation. We of Western civilization tend to be prepared. We are looking for ways to have contingency planning. Now, here's what's funny about what's going on in California. Inside of this whole network, the traditionally white America, we've operated at our own expenses a series of ham radio repeaters that can go up to a radio mountaintop, receive the signal, and then pass it along to maybe another repeater, to another repeater, and we can hop along the earth this way and get to, say, a long distance location that could not be reached by our ham radio at our base facility. And using this network technology with just a simple generator, a few generators that operate, we can keep communication lines open. Well, that's something that, again, we as a Western civilization, as white people, so or Europeans or whatever you want to call it, this is something that has been put into place. The infrastructure is there. It's maintained by dedicated amateur professionals. They're amateur. They're not getting paid. But they're amateurs and professional at their craft. They already spend thousands of dollars a year maintaining all of this equipment around. And California is saying, you got to take it out. You got to take your communication grids down now. If you don't, we're going to charge you first rental fee. We're going to have to come up and inspect it for you and make sure it's okay. In other words, the government has now decided they want to become a partner inside of this network, and they're doing so in such a way that it's going to cause California's ham radio repeater grid to be pulled out. It's the stupidest thing, but this is how Jewish politics work, how liberal politics work. They look for any way to be destructive. There's absolutely zero common sense to take out an operating communications network that does contribute to public health and safety. Why would you want to take that out? And it's free to the public because the public, the citizens are operating it. But the government, who has no say in any of this, say, well, it's on our land. It's at the top of the mountain. And so therefore we're going to charge you for it. And you can rent it. You can rent that land for us for $7,000 to $9,000. Well, who voted for that? What, you just have some moron sitting in some agency just casting laws as if somehow the rest of us in the country, or at least in California that would rely on that, now have to take it all out? This, again, is liberal leftist Jewish politics. Destroy, 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 destroy. And if you can't extort money from it, then it doesn't have value to you, so just destroy it. Who cares? The people be damned. That's basically what California politicians are saying nowadays. You in California be damned. Our policies are going to continue to destroy this state. And yeah, it might be nice now. And yeah, perhaps you can ride it out if your expenses are low. And you might want to, because not the whole, state's certainly not bad. That's for sure. It's a lot of great places in California, I'm sure. But people are pissed. They're taking shots. Literally at trucks, PG&E trucks, firebombing some of the offices, throwing eggs at offices. And now the governor is saying, please, please stop targeting the people who are trying to fix everything for you. And on this one, I hate to agree with a Democratic governor, but yeah, I think I'd have to agree with him on that one. It's not a great idea to go shooting at people that are trying to fix the grid for you. They're kind of like you. They live with this electricity equally. They want to have electricity also. So yeah, you might want to stop taking pop shots at these guys. It's not the best thing to do. Okay, we'll open up the phone lines. If you'd like to call in, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Another fun story came out of the Middle East here, and that's Assad, President Assad of Syria. And as you know, a couple weeks ago, Trump made this grandiose announcement. Hey, we're pulling our troops out. We're sending them home. Well, that was never the case. He first was going to send them to Iraq. Iraq said, hey, who gave you the right to bring them into our country? So they thought, okay, well, since we can't retreat to Iraq, let's go ahead and secure the oil fields. And Assad is saying, look, Mr. Trump, President Trump is the best president that we've seen in a long time. Not because he's a humanitarian, not because he cares about people. He doesn't, as he says. He said he's still a crook. He's still a warmonger. He's still here illegally. But at least we understand Trump. He makes it clear. He's very transparent. He wants our oil. He wants to steal our oil. Okay, at least he's transparent. It's better than Obama, who tried to create all of this nuanced ISIS BS and create complete havoc within our entire country just so he can steal the oil equally. It's always been about the oil, at least up in the north. So Assad likes Trump, still thinks he's a war criminal, which Trump really is on a technicality, if you want to call it that. He still sees him as basically a criminal, part of an organized criminal syndicate in service of banking, oil, and arms corporations, and there's probably a good case for that equally. But he says, hey, at least he's transparent. I want to take the oil. So Trump, he's saying, at least we understand our enemy, man. Trump is good. We like him simply because he, at least he's not full of crap. Basically, he tells the truth, tells it like it is. So that's kind of a fun thing there. Not sure about you guys over in the UK with Brexit, man. I got to get someone over there to come talk about it. Really, I got to get someone to talk about it. An interesting story. I'm not sure how valid this story really is. Seriously, I'm not sure, because it comes out of Stars and Stripes, which is, as you know, a big American propaganda network. But it's a guy by the name of Ibrahim Azgarzadeh, and he is one of the Iranian students who was behind the attack on the U.S. embassy in 1979. And he was speaking in Tehran the other day, and he said, you know, look, his revolutionary fervor back in the day was just strong. He was a young kid. Now he's kind of like the rest of us, graying hair. And he's speaking to the AP ahead of Monday's 40th anniversary of the attack. And Ibrahim Azgarzadeh, there you go, announced that the repercussions of the crisis really still reverberates within the region, especially between his Iran and our U.S. nation, because, you know, that attack was literally an invasion of American territory. You know, you could go ahead and make the regime fall, but once you took American diplomats hostage, you really did declare war on the American people. That is as diplomacy is. It's no different than the state of Israel attacking the USS Liberty. That was an attack on the American people. And of course, so too was 9/11, an attack on the American people. And the only difference is that we have the ability to deal with Iran in a fashion that was strong, but we do not have the ability to deal with the Israeli people in the same manner because we have traitors running our government. So Azgarzadeh said, like Jesus Christ, I bear all the sins on my shoulders, he says, because he was the guy actually that was behind leading the thing. At the time he led the takeover, he remained fairly obscure to most Americans, but for months, you know, you could see all of this playing out on television, if you recall. Now, the Shah back then, he was dying of cancer. He fled to Iran. He fled Iran in February of 1979. And really, we've been paying for all this since. But at the end of the day, this guy, you know, he was filled with a thing. He said, you know, I really regret it now. It was something that we never should have done because we've never been able to resolve our differences. And part of that was because of his taking over the embassy. And in some respects, he's right. He is actually right. So anyways, people change over time, but some ideologies don't. And of course, we're talking about often things such as Judaism and other Talmudic ideas. They never change. I tell you. Guys, I need a call. I need to have someone call me about what's going on inside of, Brexit. I'm just kind of curious what you guys are doing over there. You know what I mean? What's actually going on? I hear Boris Johnson is trying to get a new vote going, but it's like, when is Brexit actually going to happen? Will it happen? Can it happen? Why hasn't it happened? I don't get it. Really, I just don't get Brexit anymore. It's been hovering so long. I just think that the British people are screwed, just absolutely screwed. Let's see here. Yeah, that's not what I want. I pulled up a story and then I clicked it right back off. That was kind of stupid. Okay. Apparently, you know, the issues going on inside of Syria have gotten very, very serious, not relative to the United States. We've pulled out of the areas in contention. But from what we hear is that the Syrian government has started to fill the vacuum in relation to the YPG, which would be Kurdish units. And we've been seeing some pushback now against Turkish forces up there in the northwestern part of Syria, and that the Turkish government, the Turkish troops are actually losing ground as of late. And Assad is speaking yesterday. He was saying, you know, look, Trump, we understand the guy. He's not our friend. He's still a criminal, leader of a criminal syndicate for the banking / oil / arms syndicates out there in America. But we get him. But at the end of the day, look, he has to leave. He's not going to stay here forever. We need to push him out. All the lands that the United States was involved in carving apart from us, they must return back to Syrian authority. And I'll tell you, that will happen. You know, again, stupid Jews in our foreign policy department have gotten us into a mess that really have destroyed so many lives, so much value. You know, the United States right now, you know, is for the first time ever, we're $23 trillion in debt. $23 trillion. And I'm just kind of curious. I haven't seen a breakdown of who we owe that money to. But if the United States is $23 trillion in debt, how are banks, honestly, $275 trillion in the red for various derivatives? How did they make that money? Because money only exists through the creation of debt. So you can only have as much money in circulation as you have debt. And the United States is like, okay, what? $23 trillion in debt. And banks are claiming they have 270 plus 600 some odd trillion in debt in derivatives. Well, I'd like to know, where did this money come from? Seriously, where did the money come from? And where is it? And why, with all this money that's been created out there to have this debt, why do we have homeless tent cities in America? Really, why do we have it? Why do we have drug companies that are poisoning our children? Why do we have so many veterans who basically were fooled? They're not fools. They were used, let's be honest. And now, on drugs, psychotropic drugs, killing themselves. Why? Literally, I don't understand it in a very big way. I just don't get it. Anyways, going into a break, it's The Fetch Inside the Eye live. Again, November 2nd, 2019, back with the final half hour right after this.
All right, everybody, welcome back. You know, on November the 9th, we are expected to have the leader of the Nordic Resistance Movement coming here. And to my knowledge, that is still on. We tried to have him on before. There was a little miscommunication on the time. So again, November the 9th, we are expected to have the leader of the Nordic Resistance Movement here. And of course, that's a Swedish political party. So we're very happy to put that together. Now, this just coming in out of Norway, and it just kind of points to the global power that Jews have and the paranoid nature and the irrationality that we have to deal with. But it's just the truth. There has been an emergency declared in Norway. I'm just kidding about that, guys. But Greg Johnson, who was expected to speak at a forum called Skanst? What's it called, guys? Norway Arrest. Anyways, Greg Johnson's been arrested today, just about 20 minutes ago. This was updated just 20 minutes ago, coming out of the Associated Press. Again, Norwegian authorities have arrested what they're calling white supremacist, which again is just misleading there, scheduled to speak at an international far-right conference in Oslo and say they will seek his deportation
Spokesman Martin Bernson from Norway's domestic security agency PSD told Norwegian public broadcaster NRK that a U.S. citizen was arrested Saturday on the basis of the Immigration Act Section 106, including a suspicion that he may play an obvious role in radicalization. Again, this is BS type of legal framing here. Now, PSD didn't give the person's name, but it's been identified by other Norwegian media as being Greg Johnson, who is scheduled speaker at, Skanza Forum, which is, as, again, this Jewish publication says, is a far-right network known for its anti-Semitic and racist views. So, again, news just out of Norway, Greg Johnson has been arrested for or by Norwegian authorities as he was just about to go up to the stage. That's how they played this, apparently. And so they are now seeking his deportation. The State Department should be vociferously, if they had any guts, they should be vociferously protesting this. Again, it all depends equally on the type of visas you guys come in on. You got to be very, very careful how you enter countries if you're going to be speaking publicly in the political world. Occidental Descent, they've said here also they're confirming that he's been arrested. And they say here, Espen says, countercurrents at New Right America's editor-in-chief Greg Johnson is arrested. There's some stuff in Arabic, not Arabic, in Swedish. And someone says here, you know, we live in a clown world when Greg Johnson is arrested in Norway for quote-unquote terrorism. And Dick Masterson gets his merchant account closed by two banks in just a few days for letting people support what creators they like. And then Red Ice TV's gone out to the detention of Greg Johnson by the Norwegian authorities is outrageous. It is a clear assault on freedom of speech and makes Dr. Johnson effectively a political prisoner. Stating further from Red Ice, likewise, the actions of Antifa are a despicable attempt to interfere with free speech and association. I wish Skanza Forum every success in its courageous fight for liberty and the truth. That was apparently in a reply to Jared Taylor. I'm not sure. No, that was Jared Taylor replying to Red Ice TV. So, again, it's basically one of those another Nazi emergencies out there. Just amazing. You know, it really shows you the level that Jews are going to go to silence speech. You know, someone asked me the other day, Fetch, why aren't they going after you? I said, I don't know. I said, maybe because they think I'm so small that I'm not worth the time. But, you know, they keep taking out the bigger names. You know, they may come after me. I can't say they won't. So it's been a tough day for Greg. We've had Greg on. I know he's been a good, not a fan of the show, but he's respected the show over the years. And he's featured us in some of his work. So it's a tough thing. We wish Greg well. Chicago Brew out in Chicago. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, Fetch. And Among is part of what you were reading about, how the people had their accounts frozen or methods of payments and whatever. Last night, James Fetzer, who has been doing this First Amendment case with Lenny Posner, had his GoFundMe account shut down and all the funds returned to the contributors. So they're active.
Yeah, and to me, Chicago, these are issues that are very serious because, you know, how can you compete if you are really forced to get no money when your enemy, like the ADL, like the SPLC, are pulling in hundreds of millions of dollars, and yet you're not even allowed to fight with a penny in your pocket? It's inherently unfair. It's inherently
part of that big joke is they're taking a lot of that from government, like from our own governments, funding from our own governments, as in like NGO status or, you know, whatever, just whatever manipulation they're doing through lobbyists and whatever. They're getting funds that just aren't from like individual $5, $10, $50 donors or the made up billionaires such as Bloomberg or whoever. But they're taking the money from the governments themselves.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I'd like to see where that funding is. But yeah, if they're taking U.S. government money, I mean, my goodness, you know, and it's a problem. These are issues that are part of, obviously, Chicago, the political landscape and things we have to deal with.
It's funny.
I didn't hear about
Fetzer.
I didn't hear about Fetzer, by the way. So well, yeah, I mean, Fetzer to me, Fetzer's like a non. Fetzer to me, even he's such a to me, he's like, why is he? Why would you go after him? You know, at the end of the day, he's not doing anything of any, you know, of an issue to me that would warrant shutting down. So it's kind of very fascinating that they're going after people, like Fetzer.
He edited a book. He edited a book on Sandy Hook Elementary, the Sandy Hook event of 2011. He edited a book for 13 contributors of scholars and researchers and whatnot, and he edited a book called No One Died at Sandy Hook. Well, the thing sold 500 copies, and then Amazon took it down, so he pretty much released it as a free PDF. You can get that No One Died at Sandy Hook PDF, and you get it for free. But all these years later, Posner, who I'm quoting him, is untouchable. Lenny Posner, a mysterious character who says his son, Noah, died there, blah, blah, blah. And he's so much grieving and so on and so forth. And he took money from Sandy Hook event. And he's a digital terrorist. He goes around taking down people's YouTube channels, blogs, websites, getting a banned like Fetzer. He can't, and no one can even interview the guy on like YouTube or someplace without their whole channel being targeted for takedown and so on. So anyway, he brought a case. You can read this at jamesfetzer.org, the Lenny Posner case, because James Fetzer acquired a copy that Lenny Posner himself gave to an interviewer of the death certificate, the alleged death certificate of his son, Noah, alleged son, Noah. And it was a fraudulent document. I mean, there's just so many things
like Obama's birth.
So that's what they brought to court, that Lenny Posner is, oh my gosh, he's got PTSD because Fetzer claims that he gave up a fraudulent document from the internet, blah, 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 blah. So that's where the case is. It's a First Amendment case.
But still, the idea that these people are shutting us down and every step has to be dealt with. I mean, this is a political necessity. We cannot allow us to have no funding. What's with that? To me, if you're in the banking business of Chicago, you should have zero rights to be involved in the political process. You're a banking facilitator. You have no right to close anybody down. You can only close them down with an absolute court order, and that should be something that should be contested if necessary to the Supreme Court, because you're a facilitator. You have a license to be doing this. Who are you to decide who can and can't make money? That's a imposition of trade. You know, you're basically cutting trade in America. That's not your job. You know, we have basically rules of commerce here. Who are you to cut commerce in America?
You were asking about Brexit. Now, of course, I'm not from the UK. I'm not a citizen there. I'm not part of the government. I'm not part of the parliament. But from particulars that I picked up, you know, first of all, you got to look at Brexit. It's all about money. Okay. Bottom line, it's strictly about money. Okay. That's first and foremost. Second to that, from my understanding, it's the United Kingdom, England, the Queen herself or whatever, that pretty much created the European Union. And now they're the ones that are going to have this whole thing for the last 3 years that they're going to leave the European Union because the citizenry, probably mainly the white citizenry, says we want no more to do with this. So we want to exit. So they keep stalling it for all this time. No, Theresa May, her main job, and she was successful, was to delay it and make it not happen. And she was very successful. But her time wore out. She wore out. So they had to get somebody else in there, which is Boris Johnson. Now, Boris Johnson's supposed to be the one to make this happen. But here we are again. You know, October 31st came. There's an extension all the way until, what, May, I think, next year or some point. But it's really about money. So one of the biggest issues of Brexit is that Irish backstop, that Northern Ireland there, where they have all those companies. They have Facebook, Twitter, all those big tech companies where they built this little mini Silicon Valley over there. And that is a big part of it. Now, they call that the Irish backstop, which a lot of people in England and Ireland alike don't understand. But that whole thing, if they freaking Britain leaves, you know, leaves the European Union, they want to take, obviously, that part of Ireland with them, which is technically England domain. So, but they're like, okay, you're going to leave, you leave this behind. And they're fighting this. They're fighting this mm-hmm. whole thing, because if that little Silicon Valley leaves with England, boom, they're going to no longer have the European Union rules to go by. Open border, you know, free trade, whatever it is that, you know, all the complexities and disgusting things with goes with the European Union. So if they leave with England, then they'll be stuck. Then they'll be have to coordinate with England's rules. And again, it's now separated from the European Union. Now, I'm not explaining this probably the best, but that is the big hang up. The whole thing is about money, and a big hang up is that Irish backstop with those tech companies in there. Because if that little part with tech companies leave with England, those people are going to have to make a choice. Go by England's rules, because they can no longer be their long part of the European Union, or they're going to have to move their whole operation somewhere else to be part of the European Union again, to go by all that.
Yeah.
Sound right?
I don't know if that's accurate, but it sounds good. I mean, it sounds like probably the most concise thing I've heard in a while about it, and it sounds pretty logical. I'll tell you, if I'm a tech company, I would want out of the EU. The rules there are not very beneficial to tech companies, quite frankly. So.
Right. Well, again, it's all about money. And again, it was, many don't know, I was listening to and whatever, it's just that the England actually is the creator of the European Union itself. So the irony is that they're the ones who are getting out or trying to get out. But again, they're going against the people. The people made a vote. It should be as simple as that. And they're not doing it, you know. So however this plays out, we don't know. What else did you have?
Gone are the days of pitchforks, man. Gone are the days of chasing your politicians with pitchforks.
Pitchforks are outlawed with knives and everything else.
Well, and potato peelers. Potato peelers are outlawed in there too?
Yeah. They banned potato peelers and knives and
pitchforks.
Probably pitchforks. Yeah. Garden hose.
Wow.
Hose.
So basically, you're supposed to plow with your hands and plant with your fingers.
Just make a joke with that. But I think potato peelers, for a fact, have been banned.
Well, hell, that's because they want to start another Irish potato famine, you know, because if without the potato peeler, how are you going to eat the potatoes?
Yeah. You were talking about the California and the ham radio operators and the antennas, the extenders, and so on.
Yeah.
You know, that's about attacking. It's basically they're attacking communications. They don't want anybody to communicate because the power does go down. You know, I mean, they can easily just knock out the cellular network, and most people today are on cellular networks. But so the ham radio operators aren't. They can't just shut them.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Repeaters,
you know, then they're putting a kibosh or a stymie on people being able to communicate, because that's one of the first things. When there's an invasion, you're taking over a country, an area, a region, you knock communications. It's one of the first things you do. But as long as there's ham radio operators that are able to communicate, you know, that's it's not helpful for them. So they're making this whole thing, yeah, where you can't do this, but if you do want to keep it, now they're trying to, you have to pay this money. So they're actually trying to give an option, which really isn't an option, but it's by paying money and making the money so outrageous, because it went from zero to now you're paying X amount.
Yeah, it's like 10,000.
And even then, they had to still do something to prohibit your use of it. You know, yeah. So it's just they're just trying to do that to slip it in and make it look like they're not being totalitarian or actually disguised.
Yeah, you have to pay it,
which is
The way they're doing it, you have to pay a $2,500 inspection fee where they go in and they look at a feasibility, viability, technical fee, you know, and then they can tell you, oh, no, you got to make this change. You got to make that change, make this change, make that change, which, of course, is going to run the cost up. Then once you can pass that, they're going to charge you roughly $7,500 to $8,500 per location. That's kind of how it's working. That's, which is insane. It's just an attack on the communications because you can be in the middle of nowhere, use your ham radio with a generator, and if you see something, you can say something. But if everything's down, including your ham radio, obviously you're going to be taken down.
So, well, they can stick that where the sun will shine. And the other part about it is they can't collect the data. It's just like, you know, every email you send, text, phone call gets collected. They can't collect the data on ham radios.
Correct. That's an issue we were actually discussing the other night. All right, Chicago, let me move on. We got some more people on the line. And thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks so much. And going over to Hawaii, 808 Free and Awake. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
It's okay to Brexit. Greetings, Fetch.
Thanks, you man. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. But you know, we all need a Brexit. And these oppressive forces that have just taken over the world. And now poor Jim Fetzer is the latest victim.
I didn't hear about
that. And you were right.
You know, the only reason I never, I'll be honest, the only reason I never put effort into YouTube and some of these other platforms is because I had been already banned maybe 12, 15 times by different places. Right. And I thought, you know, why should I keep investing my efforts into YouTube when they're just going to shut it down anyways? And sure enough, they did. And I hadn't even bothered putting that much effort into it. And I just knew it was going to happen anyways. I'm like, why am I going to work my tail off for YouTube, creating content for free for them, and they're going to just shut me down anyway? So why should I benefit this? So I never bothered with it. That's why I didn't go that route. You know, I thought, okay, I'll just keep a regular daytime job and I'm not going to try to become an internet personality.
Mm-hmm. It seems like YouTube is cutting off their nose to spite their face kind of thing because they're destroying content. That's
well, they what are in the realm of political YouTube. Discussion. If you're looking like I do and I want to watch a Britain's Got Talent and see some kind of funny act or something, that's okay. If I want to see just some funny cat videos, that's okay. If I want to see some documentaries, quite frankly, you know, historical documentaries out there, that's pretty good still. Obviously, they've got a ton of viewers. They've got a ton of material and content up there. But when it comes to day-to-day political commentary by alternative media, they're cutting that off and everyone's going to have to start going elsewhere. And BitChute is probably where they're going to be heading until that gets
I think I think YouTube should be broken up. And maybe have a political wing where the content is under the First Amendment and it cannot be violated, cannot be removed without a court order. As you pointed out when you were talking about mixing banking with politics, right? I think that's the solution. So they can have, you know, the regular mainstream stuff and then they'll have a separate branch of YouTube for political views.
Yeah, the idea that you can delete services for political expediency is absolutely tyrannical. Seriously, that's tyrannical. That's like having Verizon saying, you know, we don't like your views. You can't have a phone now. That's social credit 10 times worse than even the Chinese are doing. You know, you know, the Chinese will still, they'll make it difficult for you, but they're not going to stop you from making money. You know, usually a lot of the social credit scores is due to lack of, you know, in China, the social credit scores, it's kind of like a debtor prison. Instead of putting you in jail for not being able to pay, they give you a super low score. Now you can't fly anymore. You have to take the cheap trains. So the ability to make money becomes extremely impaired. When you show up and you don't show up at the airport and you show up on a train, people know you're on the credit score list. You know what I mean? You're on this social list. They know that because you didn't fly in. How'd you get here? Well, I took the train. Well, you came the train from all the way over there? They know. Because if you're not on the list, then you're going to fly in. So it's a way to stigmatize people big time. And here in America, how can you allow banks to do this? It just seems so antitrust type of mentality. Look, you've got a license to provide financial services. You cannot deny any legal citizen in this country the right to access your network.
It's absurd, right? Americans won't tolerate other forms of discrimination and exclusion, but they're okay with this right-wing reactionary exclusion and so forth.
You know, this is very true. Yeah, why are it is discrimination, plain and simple. Why is it I can't? Because you don't like me. It's a color issue. In one way, it's a color issue. It's an ideological issue. Obviously, if I'm a Black Panther supremacist, I probably am not going to have a problem. But obviously, if I'm European,
it's a one-sided position now.
Yeah, it's wrong. I mean, this has to be dealt with. And eventually, the people, unfortunately, they're not there yet. But I'm talking massive penalties. And people like YouTube and Google should be broken up. They're not that effective anyways. I mean, I don't even use Google, except for Gmail, which I'll start to divorce myself from. I don't even use Google very much because it's such an inept service now. Really?
It is. It's habitual, though, and it seems to be the default in a lot of situations.
No, I just get kicked them off the default.
Yeah.
I kick them off. It's okay. I kick them off.
Every time you get an update, though.
Listen, every time I use Google, dude, seriously, I use Google, right? And I'm searching for something. Right. Maybe it's for business. Then I open because I do have the Facebook for the show and all that. Next thing you do, I see targeted ads from Facebook on what I watched in Google. I just flagged these as offensive. Screw you guys. I didn't ask for you to send me ads.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is to help you with. No, I'm looking. It's not your business to peer into my private stuff and then start sending me ads. Screw you. Every time they do that to me, unless it's specific to my interest and I actually want that information, I mark it as offensive. Screw these people.
Right. They shouldn't impose themselves as a barrier between you and the content, right? Like when I'll try to access Revolution Radio and periodically, right? Google, if I'm on Chrome, this is a bad naughty boy site. You need to get off of it, you know? So, and it'll restrict the audio and do all kinds of funny, weird things. But that should be my decision, Fetch, is what I'm saying.
Exactly. 100%.
I observe the content.
100%. We don't need you idiots. Most of you are such social justice warrior nincompoops. You don't have the brains to be engaging yourself at my level. Get out of my sphere. Just make the code work. Right, that's it. Right. Don't tell me what I can and can't
think that they have the ultimate wisdom. Yeah. You know, they're the ultimate arbiters of truth and, you know, justice and the leftist way, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
We need a change. We need a Brexit. We all do. England does. And so
well, I'll tell you, I think there's, I don't know how many. I saw the figures the other day. I think it was like 39 ongoing civil areas of moderate to major civil unrest in the world right now.
Uprising.
Yes, civil unrest
around the world.
To uprising, too, right? You know, Hong Kong's big.
Right, not
the yellow vest.
To Europe.
No, it's just look at the yellow vest. Europe, Barcelona has had some major things going on.
Central America, some unrest there.
Down in I think Chile has had some unrest. Ecuador has had some major
Chile
unrest.
Too.
So the real problem is that the income disparity is just unsustainable. People really do live tough lives. I mean, I feel so, you know, I left Jordan, but I feel for the people equally. They've become so hard, but you know, they're trying to survive on $300 a month, $400 a month in a country that's very expensive.
Fetch, you know, the common denominator, the rest almost, it's all involved with IMF loans. So the International Monetary Fund is at the center of all this unrest by these atrocious loan conditions that they impose on people of these nations.
Yeah, that's actually what's behind Jordan, too. Yeah, Jordan's dealing with it also. They've got – this is all brought on by an IMF loan. And I knew once they accepted that loan, the country – it was obvious.
The IMF, we might have world peace, Fetch, huh? If we eliminate the IMF, we might have world peace.
Well, if you eliminate central banking, you'll have a chance. Let everybody just do their own currencies and
control it in a better way. It should not be privatized. It should be a public endeavor, right?
Well,
we should have control of it. If you're going to have a centralized banking system, should be in control of it.
I think we really should study the German model of 1933 and really understand what they did.
Yeah, right. Yeah, kudos to them. Right.
The German people really understand what they did.
Or don't get enough credit.
So yeah. And just retried to duplicate
that. They tried
that.
To kill the cockroaches, but unfortunately, they got sprayed in the end.
They didn't.
14 million
them. The
killed
problem
after
is they,
World War
yeah,
II.
Yeah, that's really the atrocity nobody wants to talk about. And the truth of the matter is that they didn't try to kill the cockroaches. Anyways, that's the show, everybody. Thanks for calling in 808.
Yeah.
We are out of time.
Yes,
out of time.
Man.
All right. See you guys all talk Thursday. You thank you. Inside the Eye Live, prime time Thursday. See you then. Good night from Riyadh.